CliffCentral.com.
It's the weekend, baby!
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful? What a way to wake up.
I'm still crying from Ben's song.
You haven't heard it before?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, you see. Pull out the golden oldies every now and then.
Well, that's the thing with talents, it's timeless.
True.
Ever Brown thinks what they call it.
True.
Good egg.
All right, so what's happening, everybody? We good?
Well, no, you asked me to print something and the thing wouldn't print because the printer's being a dick.
Why? What's, is there no paper? Is it just being difficult?
I don't know. Try again, I'll go get it again.
Well,
did you not see me wrestling with that thing outside a rampant anaconda?
What was going on?
Well, there was no paper in the tray that you wanted.
Nah, don't even worry about it.
I think I fixed it. If you just try again, I can see if it comes out.
Well, it says on my side it's printed.
Well, it's a liar, Gareth. It's an absolute liar.
The machine's a liar.
And it's colluded with that bitch printer as well. They're in it together, laughing at us on a Friday.
Is the printer a female? I think so. It's very temperamental.
Or whatever it is. I can see what it's doing.
I know I'm supposed to say something in defense, but I agree.
Yeah. Weekend is here. Leanne's second favorite thing after a Monday.
Yeah, it's the closest weekday to Monday.
Yes.
Well, besides Tuesday. But that'll come. It's inevitable.
So positive. All right. Sia's not here as he is on Fridays because he's in Polokwane. Called me this morning. Said he's thrilled to be in Polokwane. Can you imagine?
Well, he was in PE last week, so he's only on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to East London?
No, please don't be revolting. I got an email from somebody. Now, if only this printer had worked, I could read you the email.
Print it again, and I'll go and get it.
Oh, God, it's such a pain. All right, I'll do this.
And then I can see if it comes out, and then you can see if it's lying or not.
All right, we'll try. You know what, Ben? We'll try. God damn it.
Give it another whirl. Hmm.
All right, everybody. Well, listen, let me just go to the emails because this is quite fun. So Celeste says, Mr. G, you know I'm a diehard fan of yours and the show, but yesterday I was forced to switch off my live stream of your show when you berated Ranjini's tweet about Donald Trump.
Gosh.
You may have said more after claiming that she was wrong about him being racist, but I didn't listen. I do, however, remember you daring us to prove that he is racist. And then she sent a link from Snopes, which is hilarious because the link actually just tells you that he has had allegations of racism before him. But that doesn't prove he's a racist at all. So, Celeste, you got your head up your ass, I'm afraid. Twice. First of all, for tuning
up. Double dipping.
Yeah, you're double dipping. You are. You're double dipping into the shit stream. First of all, the Snopes article says, was Donald Trump never accused of racism before running against Democrats? And the fact is he's been accused, like everyone on earth, in 2018, of racism. Because everybody's a racist online these days. Mm-hmm. Everyone. And you're lucky you're not a rapist as well. Because that's being thrown around.
One letter away, but correct. So much worse.
So Celeste sends this article to me. Of course, Donald Trump, he's a public personality. At some point, he must have said something about a black person, and that's now why he's an evil man. They found one thing. On the 1st of May, 1989, he took on a full-page advertisement in the New York newspaper calling for the return of the death penalty. And that is what they've got.
Which is not racist.
Listen, here's what they say. This is how low the standard is, the threshold is for being called this. He took out this whole-page article, this advert that said he wanted the death penalty back. And he said, anyone who was accused of beating and raping a jogger in Central Park 12 days earlier to be afraid. Okay, so he took out the ad because someone was raped in Central Park. 13 years later, as new evidence raises the possibility that five teenagers convicted in the attack had nothing to do with it, their supporters are facing some of the fiercest anger at Mr. Trump. Trump is a chump, protesters shouted during the demonstration, accusing him of at least further inflaming passions and perhaps tainting his defendant's future jurors. Some called him a racist. That's all they got. Now, I'm sorry, Celeste, if that's your standard for throwing around damaging labels like that, then your standard's very low. Very, very low. In addition, and by the way, I don't care if Donald, I don't care if anyone's a racist. In my life, all I care about is that I try not to be. I'm not interested in someone else's prejudices. I might meet people every day who don't like me, who don't like males, who don't like white males. I don't care. Go through life without any interest in your stupid predilections. So I don't care about Trump's either. I'm not interested. He's not my boyfriend. He's not my dad. What do I care about what he thinks? He's not my president either. I know for a fact there are certain people who don't like me in the world, and you know what? I have to deal with them. It's crazy. In addition to these instances, she carries on, did you not think that his answer to a question from April Ryan about the American Black Caucus was racist? What about proclaiming to be a nationalist? Well, I've said it before. I don't like nationalism. I think nationalism's stupid. I think patriotism's stupid. But what's wrong with being a nationalist? That means you respect the borders of your country and you're a patriot. Now, is that a dirty word? Is that the next word to be considered? Is that the next ist?
Mm.
Really? Celeste? Ista? Celeste?
Do you think we've lost Celeste, or is she still with us?
I don't know. She's probably still here because she's not dumb. She's just, this was a dumb email. I do dumb things. Celeste sometimes does dumb things.
I will.
And I'm allowed to take you on like you're allowed to take me on. And it's brave of you to take me on. Good for you. She says about the April Ryan thing, I don't remember that. The American Black Caucus, let's just think about what that is. That is a group of people who are strictly interested in advancing the cause of African Americans. Now, you could argue that that very existence of that body is racist if you wanted to, because it's purely interested in the advancement of one race. So any question that they pose comes from a certain place. He answered the question, didn't he? He was a little put off by it.
He was in a foul mood that day.
He's been in such a foul mood. I mean, have you heard how he speaks to journalists?
He could have answered better.
He's a terribly rude man, and he's rude to everyone. Jim Acosta, last time I checked, was a white man, and he's ruder to him than he's ever been to April Ryan.
Yeah, he's very rude to white men.
And she says, I accept that we will not agree with each other on every point, but when you defend the orange menace the way you often do, I cringe every time because I find that stance incongruent with you. I do not care about him as a person, but I am sick to death, Celeste, of people calling each other ists. Stop it. It is not a valid argument, and it does nothing to advance a cause against him. And whether or not he harbors prejudices against people, the fact that he doesn't utter or act upon them, he's not going around introducing legislation to hurt black people, is he? He keeps saying, and he's right, lowest black unemployment in American history. Some racist. Now you can have all kinds of ideas about what a bad person he is, but I don't believe you have any justification for it on the basis of racism. He's a horrible person. Horrible person, and I've said that how many times, but you don't hear that. You want him to conform to what you want him to be, because you've decided a certain line is the way that you're going to go. And I don't have a line, Celeste. You remember how rude we were and how rude we have been consistently about Donald Trump. But that's on the basis of his personality as an individual.
And his looks.
And his terrible looks. Gee, I was watching him during that press conference. He is orange around, and then his eyes have got this white. I think it's makeup.
I think it's from years and years of the tanning booth.
You think so?
With those little goggles.
Is that what it is?
So I think exactly
the melanin or whatever it's called.
Just stained him permanently.
It stained him, but he always had his eyes protected.
It's seeped in. It's amazing.
Because no one else looks like that.
No one on Earth.
I mean, Little Britain had a character that looked a bit like that.
Which one?
Bubbles. Call me Bubbles.
Oh, and
she spends like a year in that health spa.
Bubbles was that big fat woman who... Oh. Yeah. All right. That's true. That's the only other... Yes.
Bubbles De Vere.
Bubbles De Vere. Mrs. De Vere, we must talk about your bill later, darling. Later.
It's my friend name called it on 1234567 89.
And then she continues, one last sentence from Celeste. She says, honestly, it sounds like you are more inclined to defend this narcissistic, misogynist, racist, illiterate more often than not. Listen, Celeste.
Stoppist. Just stop us.
You sound obsessed. It's bad for you. Someone wants to know, what happened to High Rob? He's on my Deadpool list. Call the guy up.
Yeah, we haven't heard from High Rob.
You know what High Rob is? He goes into winter mode.
Yeah, it's post-festivals right now.
And then McGill says, a long email. Do you want to hear this?
Well, yeah. You just put us off by saying that.
I know, but I'll try and get to the point.
Okay.
What else have we got to do on a Friday, right?
This is true.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I don't see you with a whole agenda on your... Have you got an agenda?
No, my screen's very blank.
Have you got a hidden agenda?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't think so. Stoppest.
All right, morning team. I wish I could listen to you guys more often, but my shift starts at 6, and I'm settled by 6:30 a.m. I wait to download the podcast because I could not dare to miss a second of the conversation. Having Leanne back is a real breath of fresh air. Aww. Isn't that nice?
Hey.
And I love Nolo. She's gorgeous and so, so cool. It's amazing how Gareth just finds the perfect people.
You searched far and wide.
He scours the streets on a daily basis.
I remember Tabo, Damon, Flax, Amanda, and now Nolo. But Ben is my favorite.
Oh, look at that.
As a soccer fanatic, I love his analysis and his one-liners. He's such a sharp guy. Whenever I hear the messages from listeners, I feel jealous because I know I've been following all of you since your first day on 5FM, and yet I haven't heard my name on the show since Flax read out my email. That was a very proud moment as I felt I finally made contact with you. All right. McGill Fulyun from PE. That's nice to hear. And then here... He says, I don't fully agree with Gareth about PE. I think the city could do better. I save all these podcasts as evidence, so when people question my opinion about anything, there's somehow a podcast I can refer to. You have a remarkable range of conversations that covers almost every relevant world topic today. I want to thank you guys, especially you, Gareth, for making this possible. When talking to people, I often speak of Gareth or Ben or Sia or Leanne, and I always have to explain to them who you are. Luckily, yeah, well, you see, this is because they're douchebags. They're not listening.
Yeah, also, we need to become more famous. I mean, people know who you are. Mm. No one knows who I am.
Yeah, we need so, to. You definitely could do with more, being more famous, Ben.
Make it easy for everyone, yeah.
Yes, Ben, try to do better.
I'm trying.
Embarrassment. blah, blah, blah. Let me just try and get to the... Because this is a long email, McGill. A word of advice. Like, if you keep your email to 5 lines, I'm definitely going to read it. If it's 29 lines like this one, I start to tail off. Anyway, so luckily for me, my wife and daughters know who I'm talking about. Both my daughters, 9 and 6 years of age, grew up listening to Gareth. Oh, shame, those poor girls.
Scarred for life.
There's something happening in my brain when the music starts and the voices come through. I feel connected to the world immediately, and my girls know not to make too much noise. These poor girls. Sounds like they've got Stockholm Syndrome.
And it's all your fault, Gareth.
I'm forever defending Gareth from others as PE people are very backwards. Well, they are, full stop, when it comes to you and your show. I don't know how many listeners you have in PE, but many times I feel like I'm the only one. You probably are.
Sia was there last week.
They don't have Wi-Fi there or anything.
No,
so
nothing.
Sia was there last week.
We have sticks
and
rocks. We're
bound to have 5 or 6 now.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe 5 or 6. I think that's a little bit conservative, Ben. Maybe 7 or 8.
All right, well, I'm not one to get ahead of myself.
Thank you, Gareth, for not only being the host of the show, but for making people like Sia, Ben, Nolo, and Leanne part of my life. I said it was part of my previous email. I consider you guys friends. I speak of you with very high regard. I will never stop defending you. People must just smarten up. Thank you, McGill. How's this for a super fan? Gee. And then he takes a screenshot of all the podcasts.
Wow.
My God. You're a bit of, I mean, I would think you're like those that pipe bomber in America.
Oh, just because you took a screenshot.
Well,
of
look at all
podcast.
This. Look at all these podcasts.
No, it's incredible.
Wow,
it's quite a storage device.
There's thousands of podcasts there. Thousands. Well, McGill, it's very nice to hear from you. And as I've said before a million times, you don't have to send nice emails to get them read out. I don't mind reading the shit ones. Sometimes it's more fun.
Yes.
You know?
You've got to have balance.
You've got to have balance. Oki says, you guys have got to watch Julius Malema in Parliament. He is such a racist. I hope that Gord survives the week. Gord posted a picture of a fat, fat, fat seal. So fat it looked like a beach ball. And he said underneath, I didn't have a cheat meal. I've had a cheat life. And I thought, And then there's someone who said that they watched Sarah Bletcher's movie. You remember she came in and spoke to us. She was a director. Still is a director. She has that movie Mayfair, which is on circuit right now. What a great movie. So there we go. someone else saying that. Loads of emails. You can always email us, gareth@cliffcentral.com, like Celeste or McGill or anybody else did, and we will always receive them with open arms. By the way, I've got to say, Ben, on the money again, and this was pointed out by another email, you are 3 for 3 in terms of big trials that you've called.
Yeah.
So massive respect to Ben, should be in the criminal justice system.
Very good.
Well, I think, as we all know, time is the greatest commodity. Jason Rader, we saw the initial evidence. We called it guilty.
Been found guilty.
How much time and lawyer fees were wasted after that?
If they'd just come to you.
It's quite clear.
Uh-huh. This is, what were your other two?
Henry Fumbredar. I mean, that was, but look, I've taken easy ones, let's be honest.
Sure, but it's still, Ben, it's not easy.
But it would have saved years from the justice system.
His appeal was denied yesterday, I think.
Good. Henry Fumbredar?
Yes, appeal for, his conviction.
All right.
And I think it was pretty clear with Oscar. I mean, that was light and day. There was...
Sure, there was a long time.
There was murkiness.
A long time that I didn't... I thought he was telling the truth.
Yeah. Really? Well, he was telling his truth.
What a moron you are.
I thought it for longer than most people did.
Really?
Yeah. And I even got into a fight with a friend of mine.
Wow, who said to me, Leanne,
stop being so stupid. And I was like, no, but I've met him and he's lovely.
Yeah, we've got a picture of you with him. And you didn't look at all scared.
No, I wasn't.
You would have been dating him and then you could have been shot. I'm so glad you didn't.
Yeah, it was in my younger and prettier days. And there was a chance that I could have ended up with something.
And then you wouldn't have been here. Miguel would have had less of an email to send if you had carried on like that.
Exactly. Why do you look happy about this, Ben?
I'm not. I'm just saying, you've got to look out for these kind of things. Sometimes things are more obvious than they seem.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Elson. He's on Skype. Hey, Elson, what's up, dude?
Hey, Gareth. Hey, Ass and Big Ed.
All right.
Go on.
Own it. Look, I listened to a little bit of the email you read. I think that was Celeste.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you, I agree with 100%.
Well, there we go.
I listen to your show every day. I'm sure you know this.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two reasons why I just fast forward your show. Actually three, Saved by Sia, and when you begin to decry Donald Trump.
Okay.
I have noticed.
You mean when I defend him, you mean?
Nope. I have noticed... Without anybody bringing up Donald Trump,
yeah.
When there is millions of things going on in the world and in the news, you pick the one that is related to Trump.
Hmm.
I listen to the show every day. I cannot pinpoint one particular day, but I love your show, so I wouldn't have a bone to pick with you. But I picked this trend up about you.
Do you think
regardless of what's going on?
Do you think I've got an obsession? Do you think I'm obsessed?
You do. I think you do, and I say this with love. You say there's a guy that called. Who said, oh no, but Trump is not racist. Is there an incident? Yes, there is. He called on his show Lil Jon and Uncle Tom.
Hmm.
To me, that is racist. And he's there. It's a fact. You can research that.
All right, so what? Tell me why that matters.
So he's racist. No, it matters because you guys kept defending him. That
no,
he's not. I don't care about Trump. The only reason I'm talking about him is because of how much he's been mentioned and how people have this fascination with Donald Trump that, oh, we don't care about him. And yet you bring him up every single day.
Do you want me to stop?
Please.
Okay.
I would love to enjoy the show again.
You sound desperate. All right, I'll stop.
Please.
Good Lord,
stop.
I mean, you sound like you're...
Buy a donkey.
Holy Jesus, I'll stop, all right?
And what do you got against sport?
Sick. I don't know. I just don't like sport.
All right, no more.
If you covered a bit more cricket, I'll be cool with that.
A bit more cricket.
There needs to be more cricket to cover more cricket.
You need to get your head out of your ass. I cover cricket like all the time. You know what's happening in 7 days' time?
No.
See,
maybe because I don't listen to sports.
The Mzansi Super League. You're not even a cricket fan. You're just pulling stuff out of your ass now, Elson.
Yeah, well, I'll own that.
Hey, Elson.
But, yeah, great show.
Elson.
Yes, sir.
What happened with that girl who accused you of, like, raping her and messing up her life? Did she disappear eventually?
I don't know. I hope she got diarrhea and died.
Oh,
I haven't really followed up on her. I'm enjoying Zambia now. I've got a great new job.
Good. What's the job?
This is my second year now.
What's the job?
So I'm head of enterprise at an amazing company called Zona. Uh-huh. It's a money transfer company. Uh-huh. We try to uplift the poor and make communities better. I was watching one of your videos. I think it was an entrepreneurship video. Oh. And one of our banners was actually at the back of the stage when you were talking.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, very nice. Okay, dude.
Yeah, so I can't complain. Life is pretty good right now.
I'm very happy to hear that. That sounds good.
Thank you, Chief. All right.
All right, have a happy weekend.
Enjoy your weekend, guys.
All right, dude. You
Thank
too.
You.
Elson, have a good one.
Yeah, there we go. Elson hates your sport, Ben, and he hates me talking about Trump.
Yeah, he hates my sport. He loves cricket. He wants more cricket, but doesn't understand what cricket is. He's a conflicted chap, but I wish him all the best.
Well, now there's lots of other stuff to talk about. We're going to get to the news in a minute, so take a big deep breath over that. Hey, Nolo, what's up?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Nolo's wearing iduku today, and she's got these rings around her neck. Where do they wear those again?
I think it's in Ndebele.
Is it in Ndebele?
Yeah.
Because there's that tribe up in, I think, northeast Africa, and they wear those, but they wear the long ones.
They stretch their necks.
You know which ones I mean. Those are the things that Nolo's got on today. So don't mess with her. Can she see around corners? Stick her neck around like a giraffe. Telling you. All righty. Let's get cracking with the five things you need to know. Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. Brace yourselves because let's start with Praveen Gordon. How about him?
Yeah.
You ready for him? You like him? How do you feel about Praveen?
Indifferent, I think, is a nice word to say.
I like all these people until they become... involved in government.
Leanne likes everybody.
Yeah, you do.
Even murderers.
You like murderers. Gordon's leaked submission reveals Zuma's meddling in decision-making at SAA. So former President Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma's meddling in decision-making at SAA has come to light in an affidavit submitted to the Zondo Commission on state capture. In a submission by Praveen Gordon, he says it is evident that former board chairperson Dudu Mieni had Zuma's ear and used him to help her get her way. Well, we knew this, right? Weren't they stumpfing?
Yeah, they were stumpfing. And we kind of covered this 3 years ago, no. Praveen.
Exactly, Praveen. Wake up. Ironically, he is now tasked with saving the airline, which is on the brink of financial collapse. Gordon is expected to testify before the inquiry next week. His submission was leaked to the media late on Wednesday night. He says when he took over as finance minister for the second time in December 2015... his immediate priority was dealing with a proposed restructuring deal with Airbus that had been approved by Nhlanhlanene. Now, the purchase of 10 aircraft would have been swapped for the lease of 5.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like a good deal, does it?
No.
Right. Same price, 5 aircraft instead of 10, and you don't own them. Very bad deal. But Gordon says Mieni wanted to change the deal to buy the planes instead. It would have cost the airline $603 million at the time and caused it to default in its debt repayments. He says it was clear Mieni had contacted former President Zuma and explained to him that the fiscus could not afford the repayments. Eventually, the swap went ahead, as approved by Nene. So, he's trying to prove that Dudu Mieni was part of Jacob Zuma's circle of influence, right?
Yeah.
Not good.
Well, he was into her fiscus.
Oh, big time. He was exploring that fiscus. All right, other news. California shooting suspect is a former Marine. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Horrible. Another story of a shooting in America. The alleged gunman in a mass shooting inside a crowded California bar has been identified as a 28-year-old former Marine. The suspect, Ian David Long, was found dead inside the bar with 12 other people, including a police officer, while dancing and enjoying country college night. Ventura County Sheriff Jeff Dean said Long had been visited by a crisis intervention team in April after a call of disturbance at his home. Mental health professionals evaluated him and decided he didn't need further observation.
Oopsie.
See, this irritates me because we're meant to be able to pick up on these guys if they're crazy. And I use the term crazy loosely because you know how I feel about mental health and I do think it should be taken more seriously.
Yeah, but
if you walk into a bar and shoot a bunch of people, you're crazy.
Hmm.
And not in a good way. And there's no way to necessarily figure out what kind of crazy you are until afterwards. It's very hard to pick up on these things. What bothers me is that it means that the cause is still something we'll never understand.
That's the most frustrating thing with all of this.
We don't know, right?
And each case is completely different to the other, each incident.
Yeah.
And all I want to know is what ties all of these things together?
Oof. What is it? Is it the gun laws? Because that's what a lot of people on the left say. They say it's the gun laws. If we just changed the gun laws, people wouldn't shoot each other in America. I don't know if that's true.
Because is it mental health?
I don't know.
Extremism?
A story like this tells you that it isn't mental health because these guys evaluated him. A crisis team came around him, unless they were terrible at their job. They said he's fine.
He might have been hiding a lot of stuff. People can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Just pretend they're fine.
Anyway, so the shooting took place at this place called the Borderline Bar and Grill in a town called Thousand Oaks. Hundreds of people were inside dancing to country music. Well, if you ask me, that you're asking for a shooting.
Yeehaw.
Country music. Can you imagine? Obviously, I'm kidding before someone climbs down my throat and says, what an unkind, insensitive thing to say. But seriously, I mean, country music, honestly, do we need that in our lives? He died a hero, Dean said. He went in to save lives, to save other people. This is a guy called Ron Helis, the police officer who was killed. He was struck multiple times by gunfire upon entering the bar's front door. Later, he died. He served on the force for 29 years.
Sure,
that's a hero. Anyway, so there's another shooting, as if America needed that news story. The NPA has sought life imprisonment for a liar and murderer, Jason Roeder.
Ah.
Ben knew this.
Well, the NPA are quite brazen nowadays, aren't they?
Yeah.
Life imprisonment for Jason Roeder. There's a couple other people that could follow him.
Yeah. Like all those crooks in the VBS scandal, for example. Roeder's been handed life imprisonment. Well, they want him to be handed life imprisonment for the murder of his wife, Susan. He's the former Lou Geffen Sotheby's boss, spent his first night in jail after the court found he had staged a suicide in the bathroom of their room at the Speer Wine Estate.
Yeah.
Is it really odd that I find this very unfortunate for the Speer Wine Estate?
It is.
I agree with you.
It's a nice place. No, it's forever going to... I mean, who's going to want that room? That room where Susan was hanged.
Should just be demolished.
Right? Yeah, they should demolish it.
Mm.
I mean, that's terrible.
Some people like that kind of stuff, though, Gareth.
They visit those places. Yeah. I mean, someone bought Oscar's house.
And it wasn't Leanne. She tried.
No.
Price got ahead.
This is an awful-looking house.
Yeah, terrible, especially inside. Eric and Tabazalila, who's from the NPA, said they welcomed the conviction and would request life imprisonment. The justice, the High Court judge, Gayat Salihlope, said Roeder had misled the court as his version that his wife committed suicide was not possibly reasonably true.
Imagine what you must feel like knowing that your lies aren't working, but you can't turn back on them.
It's too late,
and
right?
She was supposed to have done it with her hair-straightening cord.
And we worked it out. That's just so stupid.
Impossible.
And impossible.
Very, very difficult to do.
And the thing is, this can happen so quickly to anyone. A physical fight or whatever between two people can result in death within seconds.
Terrible.
In the heat of the moment. It just takes a few seconds and it's done.
She said Speer set the final love scene in a triangle which had formed some months before. Do you remember there was the mistress?
Yes, that's right.
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Shame. And then poor old Susan, she was hanged. And remember, they had children together.
Yep.
And the conviction came on the same day that Rhoda's twin children started their grade 12 final exams. Oh. What a thing to deal with. Your mom is dead, and your dad is up for murder of your mom, and you're about to start your exams.
Oh.
Now, tell me you've got problems again. And these kids didn't deserve that. If their mom and dad were having difficulties, or if their dad was an asshole, they don't deserve that, right?
Mm-mm.
Horrible. An emotional Roeder kept shaking his head in disbelief as the judge relayed her interpretation of events.
Well, maybe he'd begun to believe his own lie.
Well, I think you have to at that stage because you know it's all you got.
Shame. I reckon that this poor Susan, I mean, she must have had the most horrible last hour or so. Can you imagine her life at the end there? Susan was killed by manual strangulation, possibly including violence by means unknown.
Because that isn't really quick. So the thoughts that you must have of like disbelief this is happening to you at the hands of... But that's the thing. Crimes are passion. This country's known for them.
Oh. And then our former employee, Leanne, the SABC.
Oh, yes.
Former employer, rather. Other employees who are still working there. Shame. They have staged pickets and they want a new funding model to save their jobs. I think your new funding model has to be to...
Get another job.
Burn it down, yeah. I mean, if you can't make yourself useful in the rest of the market, maybe you're not useful. The only job you've had is at the SABC, you've got problems.
The place kind of sucks you in and you end up staying for years. I mean, it was 16 for me.
When you started there.
I was 21.
Yeah. Young and impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
Big-breasted.
Mm-hmm.
Sense of humor. You thought this is the world.
It really,
I could make a difference here.
And it becomes your world. It really does. But
they call that institutionalization.
That's right.
It happens to people. But I feel sorry for these people. I really do. You know, some of them are good people. They're talented people. But you got to get out of there. It's a toxic environment for creatives. It really is. In an attempt to save their jobs, SABC employees are expected to wear black and hold a lunch hour picket on Friday. Because, of course, they can't do it any other time. They'd get hours docked.
Yeah.
I remember I arrived 5 minutes late one morning. They wouldn't pay me for that hour. They made me change my invoice that month.
There were lots of rules.
Something you've held on for many years, Gareth.
I've been very bitter about that.
Seventh time you've told the story on this show.
Very bitter about it. I think it's so childish. It's so like, hugely. It's such a nonsense thing. Anyway, the broadcaster recently said it would lay off a third of its workforce, 981 permanent staffers and about 1,200 freelancers because of a negative financial statement. Of its $6.6 billion rand in revenue, more than $3 billion goes towards salaries. That's what the group CEO Madoda Mkakwe said she would change to make the public broadcast service financially viable. How do you like that? We should find out, who do we still know that's there? Tabo? Who else do we know?
Well, anybody who's still there can't talk.
No, that's true. They can't.
Put to death.
But maybe we can commiserate. Send them like a WhatsApp and say, hey, are you doing okay? Chin up.
Yeah, knock, knock, knock. He's still in there.
Now, the Communication Workers Union says it will deliver a memorandum to the SAB. What are you going to tell them? You say, oh, you must keep us. You must keep people in their job. They can't afford it. Businesses don't run because they have to give people jobs. Businesses run because they need to be productive. If they're not being productive, why employ people? You know, you don't have a right to a job. A company doesn't exist to keep you employed.
Mm-hmm.
This is what these unions don't seem to understand. They think that, oh, well, these business people who start businesses, they're just doing that because they owe us jabs. They don't. If it's not working and you're not making money, no more jabs. How it goes. The mood is somber at the SABC. Well, it's been somber.
It's always been.
The somber SABC. Yeah, like,
come on, when has that ever been different? Some employees have told News 24 they're scared. I was scared. You ever walked those passages downstairs late at night? Holy shit.
You could hear your heart beating in your ears.
It was like a labyrinth. They still had signs in some of the toilets that were colored in for the blacks and that were left colored out for the whites. Remember?
Yeah.
Oh.
And there was that... Like we used to call it the apartheid museum part.
Yes, where they had old radios
and smelled of old carpets.
Oh, it was an apartheid museum.
Mm-mm.
They should do tours. They could make some money out just doing tours.
They do. They do tours.
Tours?
Yes.
I would go on a tour.
Many. Don't you remember those thousands of school children filing?
I thought they were. I thought those were prisoners. They're not school kids. They were school kids. I thought they were prisoners.
I want to do this.
Here's what they want.
SABC, all right. I'll give you...
You might never come up.
SABC, I'll give you 57 rand.
There you go.
So if you want 57 rand for your fiscus...
I'll take it. They need every cent they can get.
That's what I'll value. If you must dazzle me for an hour.
But there's the tour, and then there's the tour, if you ask. someone who's been there for a while.
Like, I want to see dark things.
You want to see Cloudy's office with the private toilet?
I want to see...
What is that room with the sponge where they test microphones?
Yes, it's
the spiky sponge.
Yes, yeah. It's a sound room.
And you could go in there and you lose track of time, day. It's completely dark.
And it deadens all the sound. It absorbs every sound.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been in there.
And then there's a concert hall under there.
Yeah.
Where you can fit a full orchestra in and it's perfectly tuned to absorb all the sound.
But they don't use it, do they?
No reverberation.
And there's the bomb wall.
It's a bomb wall where they used to drop politicians.
See, this
in the apartheid era.
This is a great tour.
If the politicians had to get in to make an announcement, then they had to be safe from the RNC.
It's got toilets that are open to anyone on the street.
Anyone. People just shat.
I've never seen... There was one time. Oh, my word. Because we had to use those toilets. And there were literally homeless people who would come in and bath in the basin. And the one time I rushed in between, you know, working on air, and as I pushed open the door, I was still in running mode. As I pushed open the door, the smell hit my nostrils, and it was
pushed you back.
Abrasive. It burnt my nostril hairs, basically.
Holy shit.
And it was too late. I'd already
stung your eyes.
Pushed myself in and looked into the first cubicle, and someone had obviously started pulling down their pants and turning around and didn't make it in time.
And it splattered the wall.
From wall to toilet to wall. It was dripping off of the toilet chain, the handle. It was dripping off of there. There were flies.
That's like a murder scene.
It was horrendous.
Well, that was SABC.
Well, there we go. There's a good tour in the offering here.
I think you're right, Ben. Maybe it would be interesting.
And you get like...
The CEO's office had its own private toilet.
Bathroom.
And a bed.
Sure.
There was a little bedroom and there were secret telephone cables that connected him directly to the union buildings in case the president in the old regime, the apartheid regime, had to get hold of them. Because they used it as a state propaganda institution and it never changed.
And you couldn't open the windows.
No.
Because they were preventing suicides.
Yes, people had tried to jump.
There was that Malcolm X student from WITS. They called him Malcolm X.
Yeah.
And during my tenure, he got onto the roof of the SABC, which is 30 floors high.
Yeah.
And he was on the roof protesting something and threatening to jump off. I remember that.
We went onto the roof once to do a photo shoot.
Yeah.
We had to stare into the sun like morons.
Very, very high.
I think it was just management trying to be clever.
They love to control us.
God, they were morons. Yes.
I remember coming across the article Leanne's talking about, and I think the student is now known as the mayor of Sandton, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow. He's really gone up in the world.
Yeah, he's a blesser. He gives out money every, I don't know, day for...
Well, he cut his teeth at the SABC.
He asks people random questions on Instagram, who's my current girlfriend, and he'll give people like 10,000 for getting it right. He has girlfriends that he names after musical instruments. The ex was violin.
Oh, wow.
The current one is, I'm not sure.
Such respect.
I think she's harp. there was a Spanish guitar back in the day. but yeah, he's gone up in life. If you look him up,
good for him.
Call Business Malcolm X.
You don't want to be called the oboe, do you?
Gee whiz.
What's the worst instrument to be called? A tuba.
Yeah. Brass section.
Oh, she's the tuba. That's not good. All right, so that's the news. That's what you need to know this morning. It's time to turn our attention to Ben. And just because we think about you and we think about what you need in updates, cryptocurrency $6,447 a Bitcoin and $213 for Ethereum. Ben, what do you got for us today?
The Bucks are playing the French. The Proteas are playing the Aussies. And it's the big Manchester Derby this weekend. If you're not doing much today, this morning, right now, good for you because there's cricket on. Australia are playing South Africa and Australia. Well, they need to find some confidence, apparently.
Why?
They're a beleaguered side. They're an embattled side. Use other words like that to describe them, but basically they're not a good side. Obviously, they got absolutely trousered by the Proteas by 6 wickets in that first test. First ODI in Perth. They're now in Adelaide. They're Adelaide.
Yes.
And they're making a better fist of it. They are currently 96 for 2 after 20 overs. They were put in by the Proteas, and they're currently 96 for 2. So you get to watch that, and then the third ODI in Tasmania Sunday. And then Sri Lanka, they are playing England. Now, England are absolutely on top here, absolutely. First test in Gaul. They scored 343. Sri Lanka scored only 203. And then yesterday, Keaton Jennings, who scores 100 every 74 innings or something, he played well, and he got 322 for 6 is what England finished on there. So Sri Lanka are given the unenviable task, or the impossible task, of somehow trying to get 462. It's not going to happen, so it is now a battle of attrition for them. They're currently 21 for 0, chasing 2 days of basic hardship. But that's test cricket. It's for the purists, after all.
Hardship. Well, I hope Elson's listening. There's some cricket, Elson.
Some cricket hardship
By the way, Claudio says, Elson, you're demanding a lot when it comes to the free content you receive. What a jerk you are. That's from Claudio, not from me. And Lubabalo says, I like Donald Trump, and I like when you talk about him. And Sean says, please don't ever stop talking about Trump. I laughed so hard at the clip you played yesterday. Frank says, screw Elson. Gareth should talk about whatever he wants. And Ingrid saying, fuck you all.
Okay, isn't that nice?
Thanks, Ingrid.
Yeah.
Right back at you.
Right.
7 days till Zanzi Super League. Yay,
oh,
7 days.
So excited.
So this time next week, tickets in hand, going to the stadium. How bloody exciting. It is SA's big showpiece T20 tournament for the summer. And just go to ticketpro.co.za.
All right.
From 25 Ront. You can get a ticket to watch this. Just from 25 Rand. What can you do with that?
Right.
Nothing.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing. You can't even get half a tour of the SABC.
Chappies.
Even if they were to have a tour.
People still buy chappies?
No. Yeah, they do.
When last did you buy chappies?
I only eat them when I have them when they're for free.
Do you have you ever bought a chappies?
That was years ago.
Yeah.
You people are so, you know.
Well, out of touch with
you underappreciate
affordable items. So from 25 Ront, that's all you need to do, and you get stuck in there. So obviously next week I'll get into the fixtures, I'll get into which teams have which players, because there are still big-time players. I mean, there's the marquee SA players, and then there's some T20 specialists from around the world, from places like the West Indies or England or Australia.
Yes.
Very, very exciting.
Yes.
In rugby, well, the box are playing the French this weekend. So France, mostly shite. They've fallen off. They're nothing in the Six Nations. And people don't even bother with that whole, well, anything could happen with the French gambit anymore. Because, they've just mostly been shit. But they will be decent at home, as they always are. They've got some big burly men that they've scoured the French provinces of the world for. And 10:05, you'll be able to watch that match. So the Box have made some changes. They've basically brought back all the experienced overseas-based players. So Vili Leroux comes in. Damien Willemse is out of the match day 23 for this match, although Rusky says he will get another chance soon. Don't draw too much into that. Faf de Klerk at the first chance has come back. And Ifan Van Sale, or Ivan, depending on if he's your English mate or not, he's been thrown out altogether. I think he played okay. But Embro's the bench. Papier will stay on the bench as backup for Faf de Klerk. Then Franco Mostert comes in because Ivan Etzebeth is not to be risked. He's got a foot injury, and there's no point risking him because there is so many players who can play his position now. So Mostert will prepare it with Pierre Steptoe, Archie Sneijman on the bench for the locks. The rest of the team's looking pretty solid. Vincent Koch and Francois Lowe will come into the bench as well. And you got to think the Box should definitely win this one. They are a better side. The French aren't that great. They've got some interesting talent, I guess. 10:05, you can watch that one. Two other big international fixtures for the weekend, rugby-wise. Wales will take on Australia. And Warren Gatlin, the poor man's version of Ricky Gervais, is saying, obviously, you can't write off the Aussies.
Why is he the poor man's version of Ricky?
Have you seen his face?
Does he look like Ricky?
Well, yes.
Oh, okay.
He looks like if The Office were to go straight to, like, SABC, they would cast Warren Gatlin.
That's a nasty thing to say about anyone.
Yeah. So that game will be Saturday as well. And then also England versus New Zealand. Steve Hansen, he's become a bit of a gobshite of the past, I've got to say. He was having a go at Brad Shields for converting to the English rugby team from obviously being a New Zealander. Now, he played for the Hurricanes for like 10 seasons. And he said, look, I've given my all to try to become an All Black. It didn't work. I've got the chance to play for England. I'm going to play for England. Good for you, Brad. Cool. Go ahead. So what is Steve-O and his mates? Oh, that's a disgrace.
Oh, no.
Because they believe once you're a New Zealander, you should always be a New Zealander. And if you can't be an All Black, then you should just stay on the fringes.
I don't like that.
Screw you, Steve. Brad can do what he wants. And now he's saying, well, this game is bigger than the British and Irish Lions series, which is basically a big trumpet from the bottom, because there's nothing bigger than the British and Irish Lions season series.
Trumpet from the bottom.
Yeah, this is what he's doing this week. End of year. These guys run out of cliches. Fair enough. But this English team is not great. The Boks handed them a victory, and Angus Gardner made sure they took it. But this New Zealand team, I reckon, 20 points better. Definitely 20 points better, because they take their chances and they can find their locks in the lineouts. On to the football. Not really a huge weekend as far as a variety of big games. In the PSL, Saturday you'll see Sundowns, who are a bit like the Australian cricket team right now, just without the cheating, of course, but they're embattled. And they need some wins. They'll take on Pirates at Loftus at 3:30 on Saturday. So if you're in the area, big match there. And hopefully no skullduggery or just general violence from the Pirates fans last
time. Stop with the skullduggery.
You remember last time at Loftus? Pirates were kicking over the cameras and breaking things and fighting. And
thugs.
It was just disastrous. It really was.
Totally.
But then Sunday, this is a biggie. We got Man City versus Man United. Both of them were victorious in the Champions League over the weekend. 6:30 Sunday. Huge, huge game this. Now, there's obviously a lot of controversy around Man City at the moment. And no, it's not because Raheem Sterling got fouled by the grass and claimed a penalty. No, seriously, against Shakhtar Donetsk, he was running into the box. He literally tripped on grass and got a penalty. And obviously he claimed it. Didn't tell the ref, no, I just tripped. But yeah, Man City, big controversy around money and FIFA fair play around finances, all that kind of stuff. There's huge allegations around these guys cooking the books and, you know, what's happening with this Abu Dhabi money.
Rocky.
Are they overinflating sponsorship fees? Are they setting up shell companies for image rights for the players? Is that money? There are so many dodgy allegations around them. And unfortunately, what happened was that 2014, from my initial gathering, in 2014 they were slapped with a big fine. So for UEFA or FIFA or any kind of governing body to go back after them again, they're going to need a lot of lawyers, because, and they need to know what they're doing with this, because it's very, very sensitive. Man City have become this powerhouse team, and it's purely from just that oil money coming in, because Man City, their claim to fame used to be the fact that they hated Man United, and therefore lots of people liked them because people hate Man United. And the other claim to fame was the fact that the Gallagher brothers were fans. And that was it. That's all they had. That's all they had. And then just billions of just money just pumping in. And now suddenly they're like this incredible team. So on-field action, 6:30 on Sunday. Off-field speculation, it's rife. It's everywhere. Everyone can sling shit at you. But yeah, it's worrying times if you are looking for ethics in your team. A lot of people are thinking, screw it. We just want our team to win. For your average 6 pints on Saturday kind of Man City fan, he couldn't give a flying... anything about the fact that these guys are unscrupulous or not.
How rude.
They just want to win in the football. Into other cricket that I forgot to tell you about. The 27th of January has been set for the Pink ODI, SA versus Pakistan. Now, last year, 1.7 million rand was raised for the breast cancer foundations involved in the Pink Drive. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge day. It is a huge day. It's one of SA's great sporting occasions. So 27th of January, get it in your calendar right now. And again, after you bought the tickets for the Mzansi Super League, try to get a ticket for that as soon as you can, because it always sells out. It's always a great day out. And the Proteas always win. How about that? They always win in pink. Simple as that. The Nedbank Golf Challenge, that is your final thing to really look out for this weekend. Sergio Garcia has come out of the blocks like a horse with legs are full of meth. He is -8 currently. He's 4 shots ahead of Charles Schwartzel, who is SA's top contender there. Charles is second, tied with 2 other guys with very interesting European names. But Sergio, of course, he's won here before. He knows what to do on the Mr. Gary Player Country Club layout. And Mr. Gary Player, of course, is there on the first tee.
You're excited about that, right, Ben?
Gareth, could you get a better tournament? at Sun City. Amazing place. Gary Player is the host, one of the greatest humans of all time. And you've got a huge field now being led by Sergio Garcia. Rory McIlroy is there as well, not as good as Sergio right now. But yeah, Louis Oosthuizen's playing pretty well. It's just so much to look out for. If you are in the area again, get on down to that. Otherwise, just sit your fat ass on the couch this weekend and watch it.
Even well, if you're not a massive golf fan. Sounds like something anyone can do.
Exactly, that's the great thing. And just get some beers going. I'm going to do that. I've worked hard enough this week. I'm going to be a slob.
Yes.
I'm going to watch this on Sunday. Sunday, this couch and I are going to become one as I watch the NetBank Golf Challenge.
Gord Laws just messaged me and said he'll definitely do that.
This is the thing to do. So there you go, that to look forward to. Those are your big weekend highlights. We've got the box playing Saturday at 5 past 10, the big Manchester Derby Sunday, 6:30, and then the Pro Tiers will be playing right now. So much sport, so much to be excited about.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. You know what we've got coming up a little later? We've got Stefan Panzer, who's our listener from Berlin. Who's
you say said by Stefan's coming on now?
No, we don't have said by anybody this morning because Sia is in Polokwane. But we have lots of other cool things, plenty of messages that are coming through this morning and talk about some of the things in the news, some funny stories we've been gathering for you. Very exciting.
So exciting.
I had my best ever trip to the dentist this week. Best ever.
How can it be?
It got cancelled?
No. Yeah. I arrived and she was doing a clean. You know, she's the oral hygienist. She gives the teeth the once over with that thing that cleans the teeth.
Like a pasty thing and, yeah.
The water spraying and all that stuff.
Yeah.
She did the teeth cleaning and she said the teeth are looking healthy and they're in good condition, which is excellent. And I was very pleased. I walked out, no pain.
Oh, so you didn't go to the dentist, you went to the hygienist.
Oh, yeah, potato, potato. But it was the best trip I've ever taken to one. Isn't that good?
You're very lucky.
No, it was pain-free, and I was nervous, as I always am when I go to the dentist. I walked out, and I thought, that wasn't so bad. First time that's ever happened.
So I grind my my teeth really badly.
Do you really? Like Keira Knightley?
Yeah.
Because she also grinds her teeth. She never opens
and she's
her
got
teeth.
An underbite.
She's terrible underbite.
But,
yes.
Yeah, I've ground them down to the gum almost.
Oh, shit. Let me see.
Jeez, yeah.
God, you really are a disaster. You know, if you look at a horse, you can. If you look at a horse's teeth. If you look at a horse's teeth, you can tell how old it is, right?
Do you not wear a gum guard to bed then?
Ben, it's beyond that. I have to go for.
What do they taste like when you grind them down?
You know, when you have. Well, when people have Botox for, say, a frown line.
Yes.
Apparently they use 10 units or something
yes.
in that. I have 60 units into each yes. lower jaw and 40 into my temple jaw, my temple muscle.
Just to stop you grinding?
Yeah, to relax the
Good
jaw.
Lord.
But yeah, and that is a huge. I mean, can you get a normal doctor or do you have to go to like a veterinary clinic? I mean, that's an operation.
No, I go to people who deal with
how
bruxism.
Big is, how big is
who specialize in bruxism, which is grinding of the teeth.
Jesus.
Apparently, my bite has been measured. Apparently, it's so strong I could bite off a human finger very easily.
Your bark is not as strong.
Yes, then whatever.
Wow, you're a monster.
You could bite off a human finger.
And also, it's compromised.
Person.
It's compromised how big I can open my mouth.
Yeah.
And I immediately there's a sexual reference.
Yes, of course.
I actually picked up on that because this is very difficult to say, but yeah, someone
especially when you're grinding your teeth.
A partner, maybe it was a one-night stand,
yeah.
kept saying, "Can you open your mouth more?"
Oh, and you couldn't?
No. And then I went to the dentist and had all of this seen to. He measures how wide you can open your mouth with this little contraption.
And you can't really.
And mine's decreasing by 5 millimeters a year.
You are going to be like Keira Knightley one day. You're going to be able to talk through your teeth.
I'm going to have to drink through a straw. Good eat
Lord.
Through a straw.
You're a problem.
I didn't know this.
I mean, we've identified a lot of your problems over the years. This is new.
So if I eat a hot dog or a hamburger, I can't just bite into a hamburger like everyone else does.
I have to cut it into tiny pieces, maybe even juice it.
It's quite scary, I must say. So yes, Ben, I do wear a plate, but we are beyond that.
Wow. I mean, she's chewed right through the plate.
No. At one stage, I tried this quite a soft, rubbery little plate.
You destroyed it.
No, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was chewing it. I'd removed it from my teeth And I pulled it out of my mouth, and it was, you know, when you overstretch or stress plastic, it goes white.
Yeah.
That's what I'd done to it. I'd folded this thing in half between my teeth.
Good Lord. It's like the island of Dr. Moreau here. Wow, you've got problems.
I just think there's been various things said on this show, but no one's ever said, my jaw is strong enough to bite off a human finger.
This is news. What an exciting story.
It was the first specialist I went to.
Wow.
He said to me, yeah, you could bite off a human finger.
Jesus. Don't look for trouble with Leanne Moll. I'll tell you what.
Don't point at me at any point in time.
Just snap your finger off in one bite. Terrible. Unreal.
Oh, I'm glad I got that off my chest.
So am I. Sure. At least we know what we're up against.
Yeah. CliffCentral.com.